Here's how to give.
Make your contribution now to our Spring Fund Drive at WJFFradio.org.
That's right, WJFFradio.org. It's a place to go to make your contribution. And again, hoping to raise another $500 tonight. Reason why? Because that'll put us past the $12,000 mark for this fund drive. Call now or go online at WJFFradio.org. And why did I say go online at WJFFradio.org? Because it's time for the local edition, local news and conversations to keep you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. I've got live guests. So that means I can't answer the phone, but if you want to give, you can still give at WJFFradio.org. Coming up, what we try to do often on a Friday evening is we check in with local arts and culture. So we'll be talking to Phyllis Balkan Lair, artist, who's part of the DVAA, the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance Inside Out exhibition. But first, since 1986, Fearless Hudson Valley has been helping survivors of interpersonal violence, human trafficking, sexual violence, and other types of crime victimization with support of counseling and advocacy. Fearless recently announced that the Rape Intervention Services and Education Program, also known as RISE, will transition from Garnet Health Medical Center Catskills, which used to be CRMC, Catskill Regional, will be transferring from there to Fearless Hudson Valley. So I guess Fearless is going to be overseeing RISE from here on out. But to help clarify this and make sure we understand exactly what's happening, we have Mackenzie Bacher on the line with us from Fearless Hudson Valley. How are you doing, Mackenzie?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad to have Fearless back on. And this sounds like big news.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that's been up and coming, and we've been talking about this, you know, with RISE and exploring what services for survivors look like in Sullivan County for a little while now. And so it's a big announcement, but it's a really, really exciting announcement. And we only believe it's going to continue to further support survivors who are looking to access us and RISE within Sullivan County.
I guess before we go much further, we should probably explain what, if anybody's missing out, is there anything else that we should say about Fearless Hudson Valley, apart from what I said in the introduction? You want to let people know about what it is that you do, then we'll talk about what RISE is.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I think as much as I think people are hearing about Fearless in the community, there's still folks who don't know about us. And so it's always great to get our name out there and tell folks what our services are. And so Fearless is an organization in the Hudson Valley serving both Sullivan and Orange counties. And we provide services, really comprehensive wraparound services between residential and non-residential services to individuals who are experiencing domestic violence, human trafficking, forms of oppression and exploitation, and different types of crime victimization. So we are funded through the Office of Victim Services within New York State, and so we are set up to service really anybody who has been experiencing crime victimization within both Sullivan and Orange counties.
Okay, great. And then so what people know about RISE, Rape Intervention Services and Education of Sullivan, what up until now, what has that been doing and how has that operated?
Yeah, so RISE was founded in 1987 and has been providing services within Sullivan County to victims of sexual abuse and has been offering prevention education throughout that time as well. It was in 2010 that Crystal Run, now Garnet Health, recognized how vital the RISE program was for the community, and they stepped in to offer a home for RISE while they were like facing possible closure. So RISE has been supported by Garnet Health since 2010, and the program really advocates for sexual abuse victims. Staff members accompany individuals to the hospital, police stations, district attorney's offices, really any place that they might have to interact with in different systems that they interact with after an incident, and they provide that assistance to the survivor. They offer confidential individual family or couples counseling, as well as support groups, prevention education, and professional training sessions as well. And just like Fearless, they also have their 24-hour crisis hotline, which I'll probably rattle off a few times here, but here's the first time. The RISE hotline is 845-791-9595, and that has continued to stay the same number as we transition to Fearless supporting the program.
Okay, and I'll see that and raise you the Fearless 24-hour hotline, which is 845-562-5340, unless I've got that
wrong. You got it.
That's it. Okay, good. I got it. So great. Thank you. That gives us an understanding of both the coverage of services, but also the history behind what you do and what RISE has been doing. But now, over 10 years, almost 11 years, that Casco Regional, now Garnet, was overseeing RISE. And now it's going to be essentially under your umbrella. I would imagine that RISE was a group that you work with regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. We as Fearless have been providing services in Sullivan County since 2017, and it has always felt like a really natural next step and a natural progression to partner with RISE. And so previous to April 1st, when RISE officially transitioned under the umbrella of Fearless, we were actually sharing space at a Garnet Health Medical Center, one of their buildings. It's like a little cottage on their property. And we were actually sharing space with RISE for our education program in Sullivan County. And so we were really humbled that they would allow us to share space there. And knowing that our services were really supportive of the same individuals, it always made sense that we would be connected to them. So since we've been providing those services since 2017 in Sullivan County, we have been very directly connected to the RISE program. And us taking over this program at this time and supporting the program in this way, again, just feels like the natural next step in supportive of the services that we're already providing in Sullivan County, in supportive of the survivors that we're already supporting in Sullivan County, because we know at Fearless and we know through RISE services that the dynamics of domestic violence and intimate partner violence are inherently tied to sexual assault and the experiences of sexual assault survivors. And many individuals who are experiencing sexual assault are also experiencing those behaviors from somebody they know, someone they're familiar with, or someone they're already in an intimate relationship with. And so it makes a lot of sense for the two programs to be supportive of each other, still with the support of Garnet Medical Center as well, where they still are going to provide the support of the same nurse exams, and they will still have the same protocols for supporting the RISE program in advocating for survivors that might show up to Garnet Medical Center in order to receive services.
So that's what will be the same. Will anything be changing, whether it's in terms of services or just how things are presented or where people are directed?
Yeah, so we're hoping that everything stays the same except for like the amount of support that people receive. So we're hoping that this collaboration between RISE and Fearless is able to just make the services that RISE is already providing more robust. But what we really want folks in Sullivan to know is that nothing about accessing RISE will change for anybody. The staff members who have been supporting the program, Debbie and Damaris, are still the individuals supporting the program. Accessing RISE, the location, everything has remained the same. So really the only transition is the agency that is overall supporting the program. And really hopefully the only change that we start to see moving forward is that we're really able to support survivors even more within Sullivan County.
Okay. I think it's about time to give that phone number again, and we'll do it again at the end. But you want to just, again, remind people the hotline for RISE?
Yes. So the RISE hotline, you can reach advocates at 845-791-9595. And for Fearless, you can reach advocates at 845-562-5340. 562-5340. And that is for either county that folks are calling from, in Sullivan and Orange counties.
Great. Now, how have you been doing in Fearless? And I guess specifically I'm asking what challenges are you facing right now as an organization or in terms of the services that you provide? We know it's been challenging times for folks, so the demand might have been greater on you. Maybe this everything that's happened last year has affected your funding. How are you doing, and what challenges are you facing?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to start by saying that we have been really fortunate over the past year. While absolutely we're facing challenges, just like a lot of other really like nonprofit and community-based organizations, we have been very fortunate that we have stayed operational over the entirety of the past year. We really haven't missed a beat in meeting the survivors who are looking to find us. And
that's
so I want to say that we're so grateful that we have been able to continue our programs fully functioning, whether they've been in person or virtual over the past year. I do think that sometimes a struggle is just making sure that we're meeting everybody and that everyone still knows that our services are up and running and accessible. And so while we haven't been in office and physically present as much as we have been previously, where it was 9 to 5 in office every day, just wanting folks to remember that our hotline is 24 hours and we are always accessible to everybody. And so really making sure that survivors know that our services are still up and running and that they can continue to reach out to us around any needs that they have. I think that accessing the different systems that we operate in and making sure that we're supportive of survivors there has still been really important to us over the past year, and knowing that all of these different systems are operating with limited numbers of folks who can go in and be in person every day, just making sure that we can continue to meet survivors in the community and provide all the same services we always have. So things like access to family court and making sure that we're still present there if our survivors are present there, probably has been the biggest challenge, is just making sure that we are still, folks are still aware that we're present and that we are just visible to everybody in the community, knowing that we're still here and offering services.
And to help with that visibility, let's just spend a couple minutes just talking about the need that you're trying to meet and any further details you want to give about the services you offer.
Yeah. So we're trying to meet the need of anybody who's looking for overall support with the circumstances that they are experiencing. And so we know that a lot of survivors we work with are trying to navigate like different systems such as law enforcement, the courts, Department of Social Services, Child Protective Services. And so we are trying to meet people in those systems who are looking for support in navigating safety and autonomy from their abusive partners. We're definitely at this time looking to meet the insurmountable need that's coming up around housing insecurity and food insecurity for the survivors that we work with. And so if folks listening are ever looking for ways to get connected to Fearless or how you can support survivors as well, on top of domestic violence or exploitation or abuse that someone's experiencing, they're also experiencing the same challenges we all are of possibly experiencing unemployment over the past year, experiencing difficulties with income that then is leading to food insecurity or issues around housing and paying rent. A lot of individuals are experiencing those and add the dynamics of abuse and exploitation. Individuals are looking for services to support them with not experiencing abuse and accessing safety, but we're also trying to meet the needs of the basic needs, because we all know, how do you focus on your safety and how do you find safety if you're dependent possibly on an abusive person for the things that you need? So really our main goal is to reach individuals who are looking to find autonomy from their abusive partners, really in any way. If that can be giving folks and individuals things from our food pantry so that they have less food insecurity in their lives and have to be less dependent on somebody to support them with those things, we're looking to meet the needs that would help somebody access safety and autonomy from their abusive partners.
And Mackenzie, before we go, I'm just wondering, like, what does it mean to you to do this work that you do with Fearless? Why do you do it? What keeps you going, and what does it mean to you?
That's a great question. This work is important, and I always wonder, like, what resource would be there if Fearless wasn't there? I think a lot of the times individuals who are reaching out to us have made it to our doorstep or have made it to our hotline because, based on just limitations of other systems, they possibly aren't receiving the support that they really need. And so knowing that we're sometimes a last resort agency where a lot of folks don't necessarily know why they're calling us or what type of support they can receive, and then the way that we show up and offer a listening ear and really understanding people's circumstances, this work to me means that survivors are being seen and heard, and they're being given dignity in the way that they get to show up and receive services. And there's dignity in what people are asking for from our agency. And that's what has always felt really important to me, that anything that Fearless has isn't ours. It's for the people that we serve. And so when you ask me, like, what this work means to me, I think it's interesting to have a job where people will reflect that you're trying to kind of work yourself out of the job, and the hope that, like, if we just get to continue to provide these services and help people find autonomy, or we get to continue to do preventive education in different ways and get to teach people about healthy relationships and help people understand the red flags of unhealthy relationships, maybe one day everybody at Fearless will eventually work themselves out of a job, right? And so it's really supporting individuals' autonomy and getting to see individuals find success in their own way that's not defined by us as the advocates is probably the best part of my job.
Wow. And I just want to underscore something that you said in there, which is, I mean, you were talking about the importance of making sure that the people that you work with are heard. And you start off from the position of wondering, what else is there? If it's not for Fearless, if it's not for Rise, what else is there? And there's not much anything else, and you're already working with people who are too often overlooked and too often aren't heard and already easily slip through the cracks. So I guess it just doubles down on how important it is what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's all about hearing and validating the experiences of survivors.
Well, Mackenzie, here we are at the end. How about we give the two numbers one more time?
Yes, thank you so much. So if you want to connect with a RISE staff member, that's the Rape Intervention Services and Education of Sullivan County. Their phone number is 845-791-9595. If you would like to connect with a Fearless advocate, it could be in Sullivan or Orange counties. You can call our hotline at 845-562-5340. Both of those numbers are 24-hour hotline numbers. You can call at any time, and you'll always be able to receive a trained advocate.
Okay, and you're also online at fearlesshv.org. That's fearlesshv.org. Mackenzie Bacher, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great. Have a good weekend. And again, Mackenzie Bacher is from Fearless, Hudson Valley. This is Radio Catskill. We're your community radio station. We have our next live guest coming right up, talking about what's going on at the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Steve Schwartz from Steve's Music Center in Rock Hill. I've been an underwriter on WJFF for many years. I feel that WJFF personifies what public radio is all about. We're so caught up in the corporate world that everything has just kind of gotten a little boring, to say the least. You know, you always have to add revenue and everything and big business. And I think you guys are doing things that are more from the heart, you know, go to the heart of the matter. It's not all about raising capital and lining everybody's pockets. You're trying to do something that is for the greater good. Form the listening area of what is going on, give the neighborhood a voice through their homegrown DJs, and provide a forum for local artists to get their creations seen and heard. When it comes to community, they do it right, and that's why they have my support.
Your support makes public radio possible. Give now to Radio Catskill at wjffradio.org.
Donna Fellenberg here. I hope you'll join me this Saturday for a special Spring Fun Drive edition of Catskill Character. My guest, our very own Jason Dole, voted this year's River Reporter Best Radio Personality. So tune in, listen, then contribute what you can to WJFF Radio Catskill.
The news, music, and community information you listen to, the voices you rely on, can only be heard on this station thanks to the support of listeners like you. Think about how much it means to have this amazing radio station in your life. Then make your contribution at wjffradio.org. That's wjffradio.org. Thanks.
WJFF has been talking to people on air about so many important things. You may have missed what they're saying about us.
You're holding down the fort.
You guys are a great resource and my favorite channel to listen to.
Everybody tune into your local radio station. This is democracy in survival mode. Every dollar counts.
Now we just need to hear from you at WJFFradio.org.
This is a local edition, local news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we unfortunately aren't able to get our next guest, having a little trouble. But I'll let you know a bit about this. This is what we were going to talk about, is the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance Inside Out exhibition. And here's a quote. Quote, a mark is the ultimate analog gesture. The stroke of the hand and its impact on the surface it connects with is a constant I embrace regardless of the medium with which I create my art. And that quote is from artist Phyllis Bulkin Lehrer, who has a new exhibit at the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance, the DVAA. Her exhibit's called Inside Out. It's work inspired by the environment of Sullivan County, consisting of 2D, three screen, and constructed shape canvases with adhered paper works. His show is opening this weekend, currently open until May 8th at the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance Gallery in Narrowsburg. And so that's happening out there in the community. Let's see what else is happening. We'll take a quick look here. Hard to believe it's already April. Coming up tomorrow, Roxbury Arts Center with the Roxbury Arts Group inviting the public to the opening reception for photographer Sasha Maslov's exhibition, Ukrainian Railroad Ladies. And it's going on tomorrow, April 10th, from 4 to 6 p.m. What else is happening tomorrow? Western Sullivan Public Library is doing teen trivia tomorrow. That's going from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. WSPLonline.org. And coming up, this sounds great. This is on Sunday. Time in the Valleys Museum. You want to talk about time? You want to talk about the valleys? Time in the Valleys Museum, Mastodons of Orange County. That's right. Their next virtual program is Mastodons of Orange County with speaker Gary Keaton on this coming Sunday at 2 p.m. And there's more than 80 mastodon remains that have been discovered in New York State, several of them in Orange County. Did you know that? There was mastodons right here. Well, you find out more. Time in the Valleys Museum, special presentation going on at 2 o'clock this Sunday afternoon. Well, thank you so much for listening to the local edition. I'm going to take this opportunity to let you know that we are supported by listeners just like you. Who go from being listeners to being supporters. They become members by giving financially to this organization. It's how we get by. If you want to join the many people who have done that so far, go to WJFFradio.org to make your contribution. It's WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, and this is as live as you can get here on the local edition. And joining us live on the phone, it is Phyllis Bulkin-Lehrer. She's got that exhibit I was just telling you about, the Inside Out exhibition happening at the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance and going through until May 8th. Phyllis, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm actually communicating with you from Florida. I'm here visiting my elderly mother. So that might have been one reason somehow you couldn't connect with me. I don't know.
Well, we've got you now.
Anyway,
and I hope
I'm
all is
well.
Yeah, I hope all is well in Florida. So what do you want folks to know about this exhibit?
Just that this is a this selection of works is part of a large body of work that I did over a period of about 10, 12 years that involved using the environment of Sullivan County as an inspiration and as a pictorial reference. And so what I did is I used on-site sketching of interior spaces and adjacent exterior spaces. And then I combined them with abstract configurations within the pictorial frame and with these, with most of these pieces. I did some of the pieces that I produced in the series were paper pieces that were two-dimensional. But then I developed the what most of the work is at the DVAA into three-dimensional constructed shapes that I adhered the paper to. And so it became, the shapes became an interior configuration as well as an exterior configuration.
That's great.
Goes with the inside and outside frame of reference.
And if you're going to take inspiration from Sullivan County, I imagine the outside, weighs into it. What kind of, is there any sorts of inspiration you got from Sullivan County that people might be surprised about?
I'm actually a Sullivan County / New York City artist. I've had a second home in Sullivan County, in Jeffersonville, New York, actually, for the last 30 years. And I have a studio, in my space in New York City, and I also have a studio in Jeffersonville. So I kind of work in both realms, so it's sort of like city mouse, country mouse type of artistic practice. And being in the country for part of the time for so many years has definitely impacted my perception of reality and how I want to express myself as an artist. And natural forms have always been something that I gravitated towards. I'm basically a figurative artist. I have a whole series of work that I did before this many people related to surrealism. So surrealism inspired me. During the 90s, I decided to, because I was, I guess, very involved in bringing up my daughter, and she was always outside, and I was always outside with her a lot. And so my inside life and my outside life, and actually how I perceived that vision became very important to me. And so I decided to use that as the structure for my work rather than just my imagination. But I wanted to continue using my imagination, and so that's why I included the constructed forms.
Wow.
And the abstracted forms. So the abstraction relates to my surrealist work, and the actual things that I am depicting were from direct observation.
So
you've got abstraction and direct observation combined together.
Well, Phyllis, we're going to have to get going, but I'll remind people of it's the...